You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. You may be seated. Praise God. Well, I'm fresh off the trail. You have to pardon my voice. I'm recovering from a cold, but praise God, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. And just got back from Liberia. Now, some people were getting it mixed up with Libya, and you can't really get into Libya right now, but Liberia is in West Africa, and kind of an interesting history. If you know anything about Liberia, it is actually kind of an interesting history. They're very much connected to the United States, because back in the pre-Civil War days, there was a mission society that was actually helping freed African-American slaves to establish their own nation. And so this idea was actually pretty popular at that time. And so there was a group of freed men, black freed men and women, that went back to Africa, and they founded a colony that today is known as Liberia. And so you look at their flag, their government institutions, and so many features of the country, the language, they speak American English, as opposed to countries in Africa that were under British colonization. So there's a lot of shared history there, but unfortunately they've had a very difficult history. You may be aware, if you've seen maybe a movie like Blood Diamonds or heard stories along that line, they've had very, very brutal civil war. About 1/8 of their population was killed in their last civil war, and it's statistically, they're listed usually about in the top 5 poorest nations on earth. And so just a lot of need. And as I went there to the city of Banga, it's the third largest city in the country. And, you know, think about this. It's the third most important city in the country, and they have no power grid at all, no electricity. I don't know about sanitation services. I didn't even really ask about that. But I would assume they probably have very limited, if any, sanitation. So imagine if the only power in the third largest city comes from a generator in your backyard. Most people are not even able to afford the gasoline to run the generator. So very, very strong poverty. And people are looking for hope. People are needing hope. And that's what we bring with the gospel. And I thank God that the gospel isn't empty hope. It's real hope. Amen. How many of you could say that your life has been impacted in a positive way by the gospel? Amen. Every one of us. If you've met Jesus Christ, you know that your life is so much better because of that relationship with Christ. And so that's what we go to present. We don't go to promote a denomination. We don't go to promote a program. We don't go to promote any type of human endeavor. We're really going there to put Jesus center stage. And it was so powerful as we've been planning this for almost 2 years now. We've seen involvement from churches of a wide range of denominations, anything from Pentecostal to Assembly of God to Lutheran to Methodist, Baptist, Episcopal, right on down the line. So everybody was involved that really wanted to lift up the name of Jesus. You know, we can focus many times on the differences and the things that distinguish us from other members of the body of Christ, but there's one thing that we all agree about, and that is that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, that He paid the price for humanity to be reconciled to God. And so when we focus on those fundamental things, it makes a difference, and it causes a rallying to happen, a convening power to occur that really strengthens the body of Christ. And so we went in there, as I say, almost 2 years of planning, working with local pastors, and we started off with a conference on evangelism, a conference that centers on what the gospel really is. What is the gospel? And I want to talk about some of those things today just to go back to the basics. You know, it's interesting, Barna, they're a statistic group here, George Barna and his group. They conduct surveys and take different soundings of spiritual life and in the United States primarily. And it's interesting that they did a survey of senior pastors from a broad range of denominations in the United States. And they asked them six fundamental questions. Nothing really complicated, not even really doctrinally any points of dispute. They weren't asking about baptism in the Holy Spirit, what that means, or whether healing is for today, or whether it's God's will. They were asking real meat and potatoes questions, kind of basic Christianity, like, do you believe that Jesus lived a sinless life? Do you believe that Satan is a real person and not just a type of a literary device or a parable, if you will? Just real simple questions. Do you believe in the personal responsibility of believers to lead others to Christ? So these are things that, from where I came from and my background as a believer, that was just cornbread and beans. That's what you believe if you're a Christian. It didn't matter what color or stripe, you believe those things. And yet in this survey, they found that only 51% of the senior pastors in the United States could affirm all of those very basic tenets of faith. And so I don't think it's excessive for us to go back to the basics, go back to the fundamentals, revisit these simple foundational truths of the gospel. And so that's what we did in Liberia. We spent 4 days indoors. We were in the city municipal building and had wonderful meetings just talking about who Jesus is and why he came and what he accomplished and what that means for believers. And that's life-changing. You know, it's so basic, and yet when we visit those truths, revisit those truths, it brings life, it brings refreshing to every believer. I don't know how many times people come and they say, wow, I don't know if I've heard it that way before. And it's really so simple. It's nothing complex. But it's just that we so often can get clutter around what the gospel really is. You know, I thank God for this church. This church and Pastor Williams as a leader keeps it so basic and so simple. And we continually go back to the same roots, the same foundation. We're not reinventing the wheel. We're not looking for something trendy or the hottest new thing that's out there. We're really just continually drinking from the same well and drinking deep from the fountain of the gospel. And that's what it's all about. That's what brings life. That's what brings hope. That's what brings real change to a nation. It's not dead religion. It's not human philosophy. It's power from God. And so as we visited those truths with the believers there, they were really set on fire and inspired. Then we launched them, mobilized them as evangelists, if you will, doing the work of an evangelist, doing the work of a believer to witness of Christ. We printed 50,000 full-color invitations to an open-air meeting, called it the Festival of Faith and Miracles. And we sent those printed invitations. Each one of those is, I think, like a little seed packet for the gospel, because every child, every adult, every elderly person, every family that received that all over the city got a witness of Christ. 20% of the population is Muslim. So many Muslim homes, maybe they'd never heard about a God who is a God of love, a God of compassion, a God who would answer prayer, a God who would forgive, a God who looks like Jesus Christ. If we want to see what God looks like, we just look at Jesus. And so our whole goal was to paint a clear picture of who Jesus is and to present him to the people. And like we've heard so many times, it's so true that if we lift Jesus up, he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. And so our goal was to seed that entire region. We were able to get delegates that came that would even go into the surrounding towns and villages outside of the city of Banga and go into all the countryside and invite the people. So we don't know how many people were impacted by the witness of Christ just in that invitation. I mean, anybody reading that invitation, if they never even made it to the meetings, they could know that Jesus is the way, that he wants to do good to them, that he's a powerful Savior, and he's a healer, and he loves them. And so we went on radio. I think it's the only radio in the city, secular radio station, and it's got a powerful signal. We went on twice, and were able to reach about one-third of the entire surface of the country. So a large potential audience. And we just talked about Jesus and who he is and why he came and what he wants to do in people's lives. And so we believe that there's testimonies coming of lives that were impacted that we don't even know about yet. So often we hear these stories later on about how God has impacted a life through the proclamation of the gospel. And I remember one from Honduras that just blessed me so much. I had been in this particular city in Honduras 2 years prior and just doing what we do, presenting Jesus. And 2 years later when I visited, this man named Juan came up to me, and he tells me his whole background. He says, I was sick. I had diabetes for 17 years. He said, I watched my mother die from that disease. He said, I was an alcoholic. I was bound in that addiction. He was an angry man, full of bitterness, resentment, and fear. He was so afraid of a miserable death, he said he tried to take his life at least one time, maybe more. Had no hope. He didn't understand, even though his wife was a believer, he just, for some reason, didn't understand what it was that Jesus could do for him or what Jesus expected of him or wanted to do in his life. And he was just a desperate, angry, bitter man, bound by the devil, until one day he came to our meeting 2 years prior. And he said, for the first time, I understood. It was so clear. It was so simple. I understood what Jesus wanted from me. I understood what he had provided for me, and I accepted it. And his life was changed. He had been giving himself daily injections of insulin. He'd had to inject that into his abdomen. Very painful disease. Difficult. He was totally healed. He never had to take another injection, never took another pill. He was totally delivered from alcohol. His face, when you saw him, the time that he came back to me, he just lit up, just a beautiful smile, happy, gentle person. And not only had he gone and received that for himself, he said, you know what, if Jesus can heal me of diabetes, maybe he can heal other people of diabetes. And so he kept going back to the clinic. He didn't need treatment anymore, but he kept going back and he'd minister and pray for those that were sick. And the doctors were saying, please keep coming back because we don't even have the medicine to help all these people, but the people are being healed. People are being healed and set free from diabetes. And he would take the little money, the little resources that he had. He'd buy food and clothing, travel up into the mountains, the remote areas of Honduras, and work with the native people there. And was just a powerful witness of Jesus from that moment. Totally different. You'd never know it was the man that he described. 2 years later, you'd never know it was the same man. But that's the power of the gospel, that it changes lives. So when we go to present Jesus to people, it's not empty help. It's not false hope. When we go to a nation, when you go as a witness of Jesus in your environment, in your world, your sphere of influence, you're the embodiment of hope for those people. You might be the only string of hope that they have left, just a glimmer of light in a very dark world that they live in. But if they can just get to where you are, you can get them to God through Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you believe it? Amen. Amen. So Liberia was just a powerful experience. We probably had close to, I want to say, 2,500 people. In the 4 nights that we were there in the open air, we had growing crowd every night. When I closed it out, it was probably about 2,500. And just amazing. We're putting together some reporting on it now. Hopefully I can show that to you later. But just so amazing to see that field of hands go up and say yes to Jesus, to say yes to receive his life, to receive his miracle power, to receive salvation, forgiveness of sins. And lives were changed. I don't think we know the whole story. Maybe if I go back 2 years from now to Liberia, we'll hear more of what God did there. But Paul said in Romans 1:16, and you can go there with me if you'd like, Romans chapter 1. You all know this verse. But Paul said it best. I love this verse, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, of Christ, the good news of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. That means that nobody has to be left behind. Anybody, all, whosoever will, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, I love it, you know, when Pastor Michael talks about the will of God and how God's will is his word. God's will is made clear through his word. We don't have to guess about what God wants. There's basic things that we always know are God's will because he's made them clear in his word. I'm so glad when I stand before a crowd there in Liberia, I don't have to tell them, well, I hope God wants to save you, but I just don't know. You know, I never place doubt in it because God's made it clear. He wants those people to be saved. If any of them will call on the name of the Lord, they will be saved. How could we ever have faith to believe God for something if we have doubt whether it's his will or not? It's impossible. Well, the Bible's very clear. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm not ashamed, Paul said, of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. You know, we see miracles so often in these types of meetings because God desires to confirm the reality of the gospel to the people. He's not standing off in heaven just indifferent to their plight, indifferent to their suffering. He's wanting to help them to believe in him. And we saw miracles in the life and the ministry of Jesus, in his earthly life, his earthly ministry. And if he's never changed, and we know that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then we tell the people to expect him to be the same to you today as he was to the people in the Bible. And we've seen so many beautiful miracles. It seemed like in Liberia on this last mission, almost every testimony was someone who had been injured in an accident, people who had one young man that I remember, I believe, for 17 years had suffered from a back injury. He got injured in a farming accident, something maybe in the United States that would be very treatable. But they have very few doctors, very, very, very poor medical care. And so he just suffered with this pain, a young, vibrant young man that was crippled with pain in his back. He was lifting a log, he said, on the farm, and just heard a popping, crunching sound in his back. Well, you know, that's not good, right? Immediately pain. He said he couldn't move without supporting his back, and it was a painful thing. Well, God healed him. God restored him. Then other people, one woman that was injured in a motorcycle accident, her leg was damaged. She couldn't sit and lift herself up without some type of help. She was able right there on the platform to get on a stool, get up and down, no problem at all. Just instantly healed and restored. But that's the power of God that we're talking about today. The gospel is the power of God. And Jesus said in Mark 16 that as we go out and preach, now that's not just an evangelist or a missionary, that's any believer. Any believer, if you just lay Jesus out before the people, present him to the people, he'll come and confirm that word. We had one woman, now this is an unusual thing. This, I guess, wouldn't be the normal way God operates, but one young woman came up, and she was healed of a back pain as well, interestingly enough. And she got up there and said, I told my friend, all these people are liars. I don't believe any of this that they're saying. This is just a deception. They've just come to take advantage of the people. And so she was totally cynical, totally in disbelief, unbelief. And yet, somehow or another, she ended up getting healed. And she came up on that platform and she said to the people, we got it on video, she said, I am a witness now that God is good. I'm a witness before all those people. She said, I told my friend, you're a liar. This preacher from America is a liar. And yet God, in his mercy, touched that young lady and healed her, and she became a believer. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, Paul says again by the Holy Spirit, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Foolishness to those who are perishing. You know, while I was in Liberia, I actually went into a Muslim school. Now, it wasn't in session that day. It was a type of federal holiday. But I went into that school. Some of the staff were there. And think about it. A Christian going into this, you know, they've got things written in Arabic on the wall. And you know, everybody's dressed in their Muslim attire. And going in there and giving them a seed, a witness about Jesus Christ. You know, even their Quran tells them that Jesus of Nazareth did miracles and that he was a holy man sent from God. Well, we'll just take them another step farther, give them a fuller revelation of Jesus. We've seen many, many Muslims come to faith. I love what David Livingston, you know, Dr. Livingston, I presume, right? Dr. David Livingston, pioneer missionary to Africa, he said this, "I know that the gospel is the power of God. The great means that he employs for the regeneration of our ruined world." You know, if you don't have a deep-seated belief in the power of the gospel, you wouldn't go to places like Liberia. You wouldn't have anything to offer that would bring help and hope that was lasting to people in that type of a condition. But I thank God we know what we believe. You know what you believe? Are you convinced what you believe is the reality? Are you convinced that Jesus is what he said he was? Are you convinced that he is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Redeemer, the Healer, the Deliverer? Well, when you know that, that gives you boldness because you know that you don't go representing yourself. You don't go representing a human philosophy. You go representing a person who lives in you, and his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. The gospel, it's called the message of the cross. It is the message of the church. That is our message. Oftentimes, the media, especially here in America, wants to label us and identify us, define us as Christians by all the things we're against, the things we don't believe in, the things we don't support, we don't agree with. And from my perspective, I think a lot of times we make poor choices to get on a bandwagon about things that maybe really don't have that much weight or import to them. But I think that we need to refocus as a church on what we do believe in. What do we offer to the world? We don't offer the world a list of things that they can't do. That's not the point at all. We offer to people life. We offer to people hope, peace with God. So the gospel is the message of the church. There's no other message. I remember I was in Uganda several years ago, and there was a young Muslim woman in this meeting. Her name was Silivia. Now, she had been raised in Islam. We hear a lot about Islam today. And if you study out Islam, you find out some of their fundamental beliefs are totally anything but in keeping with the teachings of Jesus Christ. There's no parity there. It's totally a divergent way of believing. There's no agreement there. As a Muslim, think about it. Silivia comes to this Christian meeting. Well, first of all, she's not supposed to be there as a woman, according to her beliefs. I'm sure she didn't get her husband's permission to be there. She comes, she had a heart condition. It was painful and is often the case, undiagnosed, no medical care. So she didn't know what was wrong. All she knew is her heart was causing her pain, and it had been going on for years. Think about it. As she stands in that place as a Muslim woman, she had been taught to believe from Islam that she was barely a human being. A woman in Islam is considered property, that you can trade a piece of livestock or a cow or a pig or whatever. Well, not pigs. I guess they don't deal with pigs, but any piece of livestock you could have, well, that's the same as a woman to them. You could just trade her for money. They're not allowed to even come into the mosque. They're considered to be second-rate people. They're not allowed to approach God or interact with him. That's what Islam taught her. She was taught that God is not knowable. You cannot know God. Now think, compare this to what we believe. Think about it. Compare it as I mention these things. She was taught to believe that God cannot be known, that he is distant and separate from his creation, that he is completely unlike his creation. The human being can have no understanding of God because he is a total different class of being. We're talking about Islam. She was taught, this is the background that she brought to that field as she heard the gospel. She was taught in Islam that God is impersonal. He cannot be known, he cannot be accessed, he cannot be approached. She was taught that everything that happens is God's will. Her pain, her sickness, the wrongs that were done to her, the poverty that she lived in, all of that was God's will, according to her religion. Now think about what happens when a person like that, from that background, that context, comes up against the gospel of Jesus Christ. As she stood in that field, in her pain, in her sickness, in her guilt, in her condemnation, we told her, God created you in his image. You're valuable because you look like God. God made you like himself. You've got God's fingerprints on you. He made you with a purpose. We told her that she was the product of God's love, that she wasn't part of some wicked experiment, that God had not made her to suffer. God had made her to be blessed and to be healed and whole and at peace with him. We told her that she was created to live with God. We told her that God is relational, that God is personal, that God is not distant and indifferent, that he is knowable, he's approachable, and that he's made himself known through Jesus Christ. And that if you can just look at Jesus and see Jesus, you know what God is like. If you see Jesus, you know what God's will is like. We told her that when you see Jesus, you see God. Well, that was a revelation for her as she stood there in that field. We told her that sin was never God's will, that the evil that sin brought into the world was never God's will, and it's still not God's will for people. That Christ's works demonstrate God's will. And you know what happened? I don't know exactly when it happened. I don't know if it was when I led the people to receive Christ, or it might have been just as she listened to the message. But in one moment, she realized her pain was gone. That condition in her heart just melted away at the revelation of who Jesus is. That's the power of the gospel. If people can see that God is just like Jesus, it brings healing, it brings peace. Just as she had peace with God, sickness melted off of her life. She was saved. She came up to that platform and she said in front of that big crowd of people publicly, something a woman should never do in Islam, she did it. She got up and she said, Jesus has healed me. I'm a Muslim, but now I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. See, that's the power of the gospel. Confirmed with signs and wonders, miracles that confirmed that Jesus is alive. Her life was transformed because she got a new picture of what God was like. And if you get a new picture of what God is like, if you get a greater picture, a more revealed picture of what God is, how many of you know that you never get to the end of this road of revelation? As long as we're on this earth, we can continually see Jesus more and more. And the more that you see Jesus, the more you're going to walk in his benefits, the more you're going to walk in the things that he provided for us. Her life was transformed, and thank God we didn't bring her a creed. Thank God we didn't bring her a dogma. Thank God we didn't bring her a ritual. We didn't bring her a set of laws. We brought her a person, and his name is Jesus. And he is still the life giver. He is still the healer. He is still the redeemer. He can take people, and the Bible says in Hebrews, he can save to the uttermost those that come to God through him. His name is Jesus. And Peter said it best Acts chapter 4, that there's no other name among people given by which we must be saved, only the name of Jesus. In the whole world, I've traveled in almost 20 nations now, all over the world, and it doesn't matter what culture, what language, what race that people come from, whatever the background, whatever the social condition, their economic condition, I have discovered that the whole world is looking for a God who looks like Jesus. The God that you and I serve, this Jesus that we serve, this resurrected Jesus, this Savior, he's the one the whole world is looking for. They're all wanting a God like that. If they could just see Jesus, they'd never be the same. Our perception of God defines everything about our life. Some people think, well, theology, that's not that important. You know, we get some of the best teaching around here from Pastor Williams. He's a great teacher, lays firm foundations, systematic foundations. That is so important because our perception of who God is, our theology, it frames everything in our life. Everything we do is based on what we believe about God or what we don't believe about him. Everything that we do, our experience, the way we interpret the things that happen to us, it's all informed by our belief about God, about who God is, about what his will is, what his approach is, what his relationship is with us. Our perception of God, our theology, it defines our faith. It defines our doctrine. It defines our practice, our outlook on life. It defines our lifestyle. It defines our choices, our witness, our ambitions, and our priorities. Everything in our life is based on the picture we have of God. And I want us to look at Jesus again. I want us to continually go back and look at Jesus. Jesus told his disciples, he said, "Have you been with me so long?" He was talking to Philip in John 14. Philip said, "Hey, if you could just show us the Father, that'd be awesome. That'd be enough. Just show us the Father." And Jesus said, "Have I been with you so long, Philip, and you have not known me?" He said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. And like we've been taught so many times, you know, we don't get our theology from Job's experience from God, with God. Not exclusively. You can get a glimpse. You can get pictures, especially in the Old Testament. But you get the full picture in only one place, and that's in the life of Jesus Christ. He is the clearest image of God. The Bible says he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. So the gospel defines our relationship to people, our relationship to God, our relationship with ourselves, how we talk to ourselves, how we think about ourselves, what we believe about ourselves, and then finally how we interact with those around us. I thank God that I don't bring a religion like Islam or any other religion when I go to places like Liberia. I bring a person named Jesus. And if you can know Jesus and you know what his heart is and you know what his desires are and you know how he acted with people, it'll clear up so many of the questions that people grapple with in their life. So many questions that people struggle with to know what God wants or, you know, the things you hear people say about, well, God had a plan in this tragedy. Well, God's plan is for you to be delivered from that. God's plan is for you to, through his provision, avoid those things in the first place. And if you, because of the sin in this world, you find yourself in a condition or a circumstance that's not God's best, to know that God's on your side and to know that he's the one to help you. He's not the cause of your problem. He's the solution to your problem. Thank God we don't have to be confused about that. That when we come up against difficult situations in our lives, that we don't have to question if God wants to help us or not. He's made it clear in his word. Whenever we look at Jesus, I never see a case when a sick person came to Jesus and asked for help, and he said, no, just go away and be sick because this is for God's glory. There's no place, there's no instance of that. None of the Gospels show us a picture like that. Totally to the contrary. Whenever people came to him in faith, they were healed. When sinners came to him and they were in condemnation and guilt, he never said, no, your sin is too great. Go away because you're condemned. It's my will that you be lost. No. Did Jesus ever do that? No. He said, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. He said, son, your sins are forgiven you. That's the picture of God. His will is forgiveness. His will is healing. His will is blessing. His will is restoration. Amen? Praise God. So much more could be said. So just over the next 2 hours, I want to wrap this up. Praise God. We're on Hawaii time, right? No, I don't know. Praise God. No, you know, it's so refreshing to know that we have a clear picture of God. And when we go to represent Christ, whether it's in our workplace, whether it's in our school, whether it's in our family reunion. You know, it's so interesting in my family, those in my family that unfortunately aren't serving the Lord, you know, they might not divulge that they're watching us, and yet when they hit a crisis point in their life, they're not calling the drunk uncle. They're not calling the cousin that's bombed out on drugs, right? They're not calling the one that their life is a mess. Who are they calling? They're calling someone that they think has a relationship with God. And they're right. They're right. We do have a relationship with God. And we point them to Jesus every time. Ultimately, the decision's in their hands. We know that. Don't you wish you could make people serve Jesus? Like, you'll thank me later. Just do it. But they have to decide. You know what? Religion, you know, I they're in Liberia, 20% Muslim in the country. And I stood up there, and I didn't speak directly against Islam, but I said to the people something I believe very strongly. I said, you know, I would really doubt a religion that has to compel me to follow it. I would really have serious doubts about a faith that the only way they could keep me in it was at the point of a gun or a knife. I said, you all here, you know, you're all here because you're wanting to be here. Nobody made you come, and I'm making you an offer to accept Christ. Nobody can make you accept Christ. Nobody's here to make you, to force you. You have to make that decision on your own. God gives you the dignity of free will and free choice. God doesn't force this on anybody, but he offers it. It's a free gift. It's available. And it's so powerful to see that you look at countries with especially Muslim majority or very restrictive governments like North Korea, and you marvel, do you ever realize how much those governments and those religions actually believe in Jesus Christ? They are totally convinced that if they allowed the free preaching of the gospel, that just 1 hour with a real Christian, full of the Holy Spirit, full of the fire of God, 1 hour with a person like that could totally undo 1,000 years of their dead religion, could totally undo decades of their extreme ideologies. Just 1 hour with a real Christian would be enough to do enough damage to their empty ideas that all their people would turn to Jesus. And you know what? They're right. And I wish believers believed in the message of the gospel that much. That we really would believe deeply that what we have is what the world's looking for. What we have, what we've experienced with Jesus Christ, isn't dead religion. It's something that's transforming. It's something that's powerful. It's potent. It's got life in it from God. I believe that. Do you believe that today? Why don't you stand with me to your feet? I always find that redundant after I say it, stand to your feet, as if, what's the other option, right? Stand to your hands. We should try that sometime. I'd have to say stand to your hands with me, so I'd have to be on my hands first. Let's close our eyes right now and just thank the Lord for what he's doing. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. Your word is refreshing. Your word is full of life. We thank you, Lord, that the gospel, yes, it is the power of God to salvation. We thank you that we know that you're good. We know that you love us. We know that you're not against us. You're for us. You're on our side. And that gives us peace with God. That we're not going cross-grain with God. We're not going against the current. We're flowing with you, living in you, because of what Jesus did on the cross. We thank you that he's not dead. He is alive. He does rule and reign. And Father, he is the Savior of the world. Just as your heads are bowed, I think most of us are home folks from the church here, but I wouldn't want to pass the opportunity if there's someone here that says, you know what, I don't know if I am right with God. I don't know if I'm saved, but I want to accept Jesus. I've heard about this good news, about this loving Savior, Jesus, and I believe in him. I want to accept him. Just raise your hand if you're here. I won't embarrass you, but I wouldn't want to pass up that opportunity if there's someone like that today. I don't see any hands. Anybody? All right, let's pray together. Father, we thank you. Our message is not empty. There is confirmation. Signs and wonders and miracles. Transform lives. That's the proof of the gospel. That Jesus is alive. That he is resurrected. He has changed our lives. And he will change the life of any person who accepts him in faith. We pray that you'd enliven our witness. Let us be bolder. Let us be freer in our witness. We thank you, Lord, for the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, Father, as we go today, we thank you that you're with us and that you're opening doors for our witness. Every day we're living our life with Jesus, and we live it, Father, with joy. And as people look, they'll be able to see the light in us. They'll be able to see the difference in us because Jesus lives big in us and through us. We thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen.